The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and you are hearing Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you Novel Ideas meets on October 16th, Fantasy Books meets October 28th, from the AFB, the results of the Flatten Inaccessibility Report, from WRAL.com, Voting in North Carolina, Accommodations Approved, from Uber.com, Masking Policy and COVID-19 Rules, from NFB, STEM2U Webinars, from Justice.gov, the U.S. DOJ, IBI owes the U.S. almost $2 million settlement in Wisconsin. Blind Abilities has results of the new iOS 14 platform and its interaction with screen readers and usability. So let's get started. Novel Ideas meets October 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern to discuss The Two Family House by Linda Cohen-Leugman, DB97949. Novel Ideas will be discussing the book The Two Family House by Linda with a Y, Cohen-Leugman, L-O-I-G-M-A-N, DB97949. Below is the synopsis from Bookshare, a richly textured, complex, yet entirely believable story, engrossing from beginning to end. In the midst of a blizzard in a two-family brownstone, two babies are born minutes apart. The mothers are sisters by marriage, dutiful, quiet Rose, who wants nothing more than to please her difficult husband, and warm, generous Helen, the exhausted mother of four rambunctious boys, who seem to need her less and less each day. Raising their families side by side, supporting one another, Rose and Helen share an impenetrable bond forged before and during that dramatic winter night. When the storm passes, life seems to return to normal, but as the years progress, small cracks start to appear, and the once deep friendship between the two women begins to unravel. No one knows why, and no one can stop it. One misguided choice, one moment of tragedy. Heartbreak wars with happiness, and almost but not quite wins. Moving and evocative, The Two Family House is a heart-wrenching, gripping, multi-generational story woven around the deepest of secrets. Join us in this Zoom meeting to discuss this great book. Host Randy Shelton, email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host Ruth Ann Acosta, email ruth1244@gmail.com. Date Friday, October 16, 2020. Time 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and elsewhere in the world, Saturday, midnight, Greenwich Mean Time. We hope you'll join us to discuss this great book. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers or execute the Zoom meeting link found in your Zoom invitation. Robert Acosta is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, Novel Ideas. Time meets third Friday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/584149162. iPhone telephone numbers in the U.S. 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923. Dial for higher quality in the U.S., the same numbers I just read. Meeting ID 584-149-162. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/capital S X 9 O capital A 6 C capital R. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Wednesday of the month, Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. We will continue the format of having everybody read a new book and discuss their book choice with the group, as well as talking about a book they have previously read. We will be using the Zoom platform. The relevant info is https://zoom.us/j/56111-2974. iPhone telephone numbers 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923. The meeting ID is 561-112-974. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/. Julia Kulak, Group Facilitator, julia.kulak@gmail.com. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, is proud to announce the release of the Flatten Inaccessibility Research Report, the culmination of survey findings from 1,921 U.S. participants who are blind or have low vision. Of those who participated, 65% of participants were blind and 35% had low vision. 43% reported having an additional disability with diabetes, hearing impairment, and significant psychiatric disorders being the most frequently reported. The survey investigated the experiences of these participants during the start of the COVID-19 pandemic to determine how they were affected in areas including transportation availability, health care, access to food and supplies, employment, education, and voting. While other research projects examine the risk to people with disabilities of contracting COVID-19, AFB and the other organizations behind this study had concerns about the quality of life for those most affected by community and public policy responses, such as reduced public transportation options, the quick transition mandating employees work from home, and school closings, Dr. L. Penny Rosenblum, AFB Director of Research, said. The survey was made possible thanks to the collaboration among 16 organizations and companies concerned about the impact of COVID-19 on adults with visual impairments in the United States. We want to engage in dialogue about how individuals, organizations, and companies are using the results of the Flatten Inaccessibility Study. Use the hashtag Flatten Inaccessibility to share your experiences and ideas. We are committed to conducting high-quality research related to blindness and low vision, and sharing our findings broadly. If you would like to receive information about research opportunities, reports, webinars, and other ways we are sharing our research, please sign up at the hot link. Thank you, AFB Communications. Email communications@afb.org. Posted on WRAL.com by Travis Fain, WRAL Statehouse Reporter. That's spelled Travis, F-A-I-N. Judge orders new accommodations for blind voters in pandemic. A federal judge ruled in favor of blind voters in North Carolina this week, saying the state must give them a better way to vote in private and without having to visit a polling place during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. U.S. District Judge Terrence Boyle issued a preliminary injunction in the case Thursday and ordered the State Board of Elections to give blind and low vision voters access to Democracy Live, an online voting portal already used by deployed members of the military and U.S. citizens overseas. The judge acknowledged logistical issues in getting that set up, but said it should be done as expeditiously as possible ahead of the November 3rd election. Absentee voting by mail for that election is already underway, but the judge said in his order that the plaintiffs who brought the lawsuit have already agreed that some days of access to a private independent accessible absentee ballot are better than 0 days of private independent absentee voting. Blind and low vision voters typically use machines to vote at their polling places that provide privacy and allow them to vote without assistance. Those who fear visiting a polling place during the coronavirus pandemic would have to vote with paper absentee ballots and would typically need help to do so, the lawsuit states. The Democracy Live! Portal offers an alternative, and Boyle said he was unpersuaded by the state's argument that widening access to the portal would increase security risks. The case was brought by 4 voters and several advocacy groups. Disability Rights Advocates and Disability Rights North Carolina said in a news release Friday that they're coordinating implementation of the court's order with the State Board of Elections. There are still details to be worked out, but it's clear that with this order, North Carolina has made a huge step in advancing the rights of its citizens with disabilities, said Kendall Gibbs, one of the plaintiffs, in the group's release. It's unclear how many voters will be affected by the ruling, This is one of several lawsuits targeting North Carolina's voting rules that has either been decided in recent weeks or remains pending. Most of the suits deal with absentee ballot rules and transitions meant to make it easier for people to vote without going to the polls in person. From Uber.com, protecting one another. Medical experts agree wearing a mask can help slow the spread of COVID-19. That's why since May, we have required riders, drivers, and delivery people to wear a mask or face cover when using Uber. Today, we're building on these efforts with several new features and initiatives to help ensure we are all protecting one another. Mask verifications. Earlier this year, we built innovative technology designed to verify that drivers on Uber and delivery people on Uber Eats are wearing a mask. Before starting to drive passengers or deliver food, they are asked to take a selfie showing their mouth and nose are covered. To date, more than 3.5 million drivers and delivery people have completed more than 100 million mask verifications. We firmly believe that accountability is a two-way street. That's why we're expanding the same technology to riders, too. If a driver reports to us that a rider isn't wearing a mask, the rider will be required to take a selfie with their face covered before they're able to take another trip with Uber. With the addition of this new feature, one driver's feedback can help ensure the safety of Uber for the next driver. The mask verification feature will roll out to the U.S. and Canada by the end of September, and across Latin America and other countries after that. As with the driver mask verification tool, this technology detects the mask as an object in the photo and does not process biometric information. As always, riders and drivers are free to cancel a trip without penalty if the other person isn't wearing a mask. As more and more riders and drivers take their second first trip, we hope this increased accountability provides more peace of mind. Health and safety supplies for drivers. In May, we announced the allocation of $50 million to purchase and distribute cleaning supplies and protective equipment for drivers. Since March, we have sourced nearly 30 million masks and face covers. Globally, we have distributed masks to 1.4 million drivers and delivery people free of charge. We will continue to provide these critical supplies to drivers and delivery people at no charge for at least the remainder of 2020. In addition, we've provided more than 800,000 packages of disinfectant sprays, wipes, and hand sanitizer to drivers at no cost, including through our partnerships with Clorox, Unilever, and Dettol, with millions more on the way. Drivers can easily order free masks and other supplies through the dedicated COVID-19 hub in their app. Distribution varies by region, but in the U.S. and Canada, drivers can have the items shipped to their home or can choose to pick them up at one of our Uber Greenlight driver support hubs. Wash, wear, air, a new safety ritual. In a crisis, clear, simple, and consistent communication is key. Earlier this year, we worked with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization to help COVID safety tips specific to ride sharing. Now, as more people are going back to work at school, we're deploying a comprehensive education campaign to encourage riders and drivers to follow three simple steps on every trip. Wash. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands before you ride. Wear. Wear a face, cover, or mask. Air. Sit in the back seat and roll down your window for airflow. We believe critical safety information should not be proprietary, so we are making these tips, illustrations, and creative assets available to any organization to promote safety in their own communities. We've already teamed up with the National PTA, National Parent Teacher Association, and the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators, IACLEA, to share this information with students, teachers, and public safety officials across the U.S. and Canada. We look forward to working together with more organizations to spread this important safety message. Organizations can find more information at a hot link. When it comes to safety, we know our work is never done. That's why we continue to develop new technology to help drivers stay safe. Wherever you're traveling, we are committed to helping make every trip and delivery safe for all. From NFB.org, NFB STEM number 2, U. That's a capital U. The National Federation of the Blind works to improve opportunities for blind students in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In NFB STEM 2U, We are bringing what we have learned directly to students and families in their homes. Students of varying ages in 15 states across the country will receive instruction from NFB personnel and expert instructors via the Zoom platform. Dates and location. There are two opportunities to attend this program. October 17, 2020 from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. November 14, 2020 from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Who should attend? This program is designed for blind and low vision students in grades 3 to high school level. Who are interested in STEM, are unsure about STEM but interested in fun programs specific to blind students, are in need of hands-on non-visual skills training opportunities from blind role models. Agenda. There will be two tracks for the program based on grade and experience, basic and advanced. Each student registered for the 2020 NFB STEM2U program will be sent a box of materials containing everything they need to completely engage with the lesson. After the lesson, state coordinators will connect with the students for additional interaction, in-depth discussion, and an exploration of additional avenues for STEM enrichment and learning. Full agenda coming soon. Registration. Please use our online application form at the hot link to register for NFB STEM number 2U. Accommodations. This program is designed to include Braille, accessible tools, and digital content. If additional accommodations are needed, please email stem@nfb.org. More information. If you have questions, please email stem@nfb.org. Participation will be completely free to participants thanks to the generous support of General Motors. From justice.gov, Wisconsin-based nonprofit to pay $1.9 million to settle allegations of false claims and kickbacks on federal contracts for blind workers. Press release Wednesday, September 30, 2020, from the Office of Public Affairs. Industries for the Blind and Visually Impaired Incorporated, IBI, has agreed to pay the United States $1,938,684.09 to resolve allegations that IBI violated the False Claims Act and the Anti-Kickback Act in connection with certain federal contracts set aside to employ blind workers, the Justice Department announced today. IBI is a nonprofit corporation headquartered in West Allis, Wisconsin, that receives set-aside contracts from federal agencies under the federal government's Ability One program. In exchange, IBI agrees to give jobs to workers who are blind or visually impaired and comply with other contractual requirements. The settlement resolves allegations that between 2009 and 2018, IBI misrepresented to the U.S. Ability One Commission when requesting set-aside contracts for furniture design and installation services that it would maintain a 3-to-1 blind-sighted ratio of employees, and that furniture designers and sales representatives working for IBI took impermissible payments and gifts from manufacturers on certain contracts. It also resolves claims that IBI improperly subcontracted a set-aside contract for screen-printed clothing to an entity that did not generally use blind labor. Ability One contractors have a duty to follow the law and meet their important commitments to employ workers who are blind or severely disabled, said Acting Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey Bossert Clark for the Department of Justice's Civil Division. This settlement demonstrates our continuing vigilance to ensure that those receiving set-aside contracts under the Ability One program comply with the conditions of their awards. The Ability One Commission operates under the authority of the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act, JWOD Act, which was passed in 1971 to increase employment and training opportunities for persons who are blind or visually impaired, or who have disabilities so severe that they are otherwise unable to work at competitive employment. More than 400 companies participate in the Ability One program and receive set-aside federal contracts in exchange for employing approximately 45,000 people who are blind or have severe disabilities. By its conduct, IBI thwarted the Ability One program's goal of increasing employment and training opportunities for persons who are blind or visually impaired, said U.S. Attorney Matthew D. Krueger for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. This settlement reflects our office's continuing efforts to combat violations of the False Claims Act and protect federal programs. We are committed to preserving the integrity of the Ability One program. False claims on the program exclude blind and significantly disabled workers from opportunities and hinders law-abiding Ability One contractors, said Thomas K. Lerich, L-E-H-R-I-C-H, Inspector General of the U.S. Ability One Commission. Working with DOJ and our partners, the Office of Inspector General protects the confidence and public trust in the largest employment program in the nation of blind and significantly disabled workers. The conduct at issue in this case undermined the core purpose of the Ability One program, to provide jobs for the blind and disabled, said Carol F. Ochoa, Inspector General for the General Services Administration, GSA. The settlement reflects our commitment to protect the integrity of the program and hold companies accountable for attempts to subvert it. Among the allegations resolved by the settlement are claims asserted in a lawsuit filed under the whistleblower provision of the False Claims Act, which permits private parties to file suit on behalf of the United States for false claims and share in a portion of the government's recovery. The lawsuit was filed by Paul Inzio, formerly a marketing manager at IBI, whose share has not yet been decided. The settlement also resolved conduct that IBI investigated and disclosed to the United States concerning the receipt of gifts and money by its furniture designers and sales representatives that was not alleged in the whistleblower complaint. It received credit in the settlement for its disclosure, cooperation, and remediation efforts in connection with this conduct. The settlement was the result of a coordinated effort among the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Wisconsin and the Commercial Litigation Branch of the Justice Department's Civil Division, with assistance from the GSA's Office of Inspector General, the U.S. Army Criminal Investigative Command, the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, the Defense Contract Audit Agency, the Ability One Office of the Inspector General, and the U.S. Department of the Interior Office of Inspector General. The claims resolved by the settlement are allegations only, and there has been no determination of liability. The lawsuit resolved by the settlement is captioned United States ex rel. Inzio v. Industries for the Blind, Inc. et al. Number 15-CV-996, parentheses ED, Wisconsin, parentheses close. The press release is number 20-1028, and it's on justice.gov. From blindabilities.com. Tech abilities. After the dust settles in the apple orchard, along come Serena, Rocky, and Jeffy Appleseed. Show summary. Three is company, and we were feeling pretty good once we got the iOS 14 downloaded and up and running on our various versions of the iPhone. Rocky and Jeff virtually high-five each other, and Serena just shrugs. With the new iOS full of features that extend beyond the reach of the iPhone X, there was a lot to talk about, and the Time Flies event was nearly the opposite. Kind of a lackluster event unless you were waiting for the new Apple Watch Series 6, or SE, or an iPad in sky blue. Rocky, Serena, and Jeff dig in and give their opinions and share some experiences with the iOS 14 features. Jeff, having beta tested for some time, brought his unique perspective, while Rocky dove deep into the AirBud Pros, while Serena talked continuously about October. Below is a list of topics covered in this deep dive into the Apple Orchard, minus a few iPhone apples. Jeff gives a few demos, voice recognition, and precise and approximate location settings. iOS 14. What iPhones get all the latest and greatest features. iPhone XR and newer, including the SE 2020. Accessibility. Voice-over recognition. On-device intelligence recognizes key elements displayed on your screen to add voice-over support for app and web experiences that don't have accessibility support built in. Image descriptions. Voice-over reads complete sentence descriptions of images and photos within apps and on the web. Text recognition. VoiceOver speaks the text it identifies within images and photos. Screen recognition. VoiceOver automatically detects interface controls to aid in navigating your apps, making them more accessible. Headphone accommodations. This new accessibility feature is designed to amplify soft sounds and adjust certain frequencies for an individual's hearing to help music, movies, phone calls, and podcasts sound more crisp and clear. Headphone Accommodations also supports transparency mode on AirPods Pro, making quiet voices more audible and tuning the sounds of your environment to your hearing needs. Sound Recognition. Sound Recognition uses on-device intelligence to notify users who might otherwise miss audible environmental alerts around them. On the iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch, users receive a notification when a particular type of sound or alert, such as a fire alarm or doorbell, is detected. BackTap. Built to create a simple and easy way to trigger convenient tasks for those with accessibility needs, a quick double or triple tap on the back of your iPhone can be configured to trigger a number of actions, such as opening the magnifier or starting VoiceOver when your iPhone is in your pocket. It can even map to common system features such as Control Center or accessibility-specific activities such as Switch Control actions. Sign Language Prominence. FaceTime can now detect when a participant is using sign language and make the person prominent in a group FaceTime call. Widgets. Add widgets to keep important information front and center. Touch any app icon, then flick up until you hear edit mode, and single-finger double-tap the Add Widget button located at the top left-hand corner of the screen. Choose a widget in the gallery, then choose a size. The smaller sizes take up less space and provide less info as opposed to the large size. The space the widget takes up moves the overflow to the next page, and not incorporating them into the next page that was previously there. Nice, as when you get rid of the widget, all springs back to normal. You can stack the widgets. Smart Stack Widget. The Smart Stack allows you relevant information throughout the day, like the weather forecast or route to your next event. Choose Smart Stack from the widget list. You can edit what is in the Smart Stack by single-finger double-tapping on the widget while in edit mode. Change order or delete a particular choice. App Library. To see all your apps neatly categorized, three-finger swipe left on the home screen until you see the App Library. It is the last page. Apps are also sorted into groups, such as Recently Added and Social. At the top of the screen is a search bar. Each category will say how many apps are in the folder, and the apps will be in an A to Z format. Reply to a specific message. In a group conversation in the Messages app, you can single double tap a hold on any message and respond to that particular message. After single finger double tapping, click up or down to your desired option of copy, reply, or respond with emoji like thumbs up. Pinning conversations, up to 9 conversations. Group photos, give your group conversation a visual identity by adding a photo or emoji, or choose an emoji. Send audio messages. When you want to be more expressive in your messages, you can now easily send audio messages with Siri. Password monitoring. Safari securely monitors your saved passwords to ensure that they've not been compromised in a data breach. There is more on the blindabilities.com website, or you can listen to the entire interview on their program that is also available. And that's all I had time for. I thank you for listening to today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919-832-5138 for